This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Islam, we have a variety of rights upon us. In fact, the chapter of rights is a very extensive chapter, which includes rights that we have towards our environment and even rights that we have upon animals. And one very important right that we have is a right that we have towards people who share the same fundamental beliefs in the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We know we have various alliances in the world today, alliances based on civilizations, alliances based on economic interests. You have NATO, you have European Union, you have the African Union, and you have different types of unions which are based on civilizations, which are based on common interests, sometimes based on geographical locations. However, this is a unique type of alliance. It's a unique type of brotherhood, which is a brotherhood which is based on the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is not only based on the kalima la ilaha illallah, it is not only based on faith, but it's part of faith. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "La tadkhulu al-jannata hatta tu'minu, wa la tu'minu hatta tahabbu." You cannot enter into Jannah until you have iman, and you don't have iman until you don't have love for your fellow Muslim. "Ala adullukum ala shay'in idha fa'altumuhu tahabbtum?" Should I not show you something that when you do it, Allah will increase love between you and your fellow Muslims? Afshu salam baynakum, spread the salam amongst you. So this is a very important brotherhood. The Quran and the Sharia has used a very unique approach and method on this brotherhood with a very profound message. For example, let me give you a few examples from the Holy Quran about the aspect of this brotherhood. Normally, when you and I, when we speak to one another, you know, we will use the phrase, do not kill another person. Make salam to another person. Don't take out the faults of another person. That's how we normally would make that particular type of conversation. But let us be sacrificed on how the Quran puts these very same commands. Allah Ta'ala says, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, make salam upon your own self. فَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't kill your own self. فَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, don't search for faults amongst your own self. Don't kill yourself. If you kill your next Muslim brother, you're killing yourself. If you're making salam to your next Muslim brother, you are making salam to your own self. When you take out faults in your next Muslim brother, what joy is there? It is equivalent to taking out faults in your own self. What joy can there be in that? Don't take any joy with regard to that. So look at this remarkable way how Allah Ta'ala has given this example of brotherhood with such a profound message. And then even this aspect that it's all one brotherhood, and every aspect of our ibadat is also done with a collective dimension. Our salat is better if it is done in jamaat. In zakat, the well-to-do in the community, I've been given the responsibility to care for those who are not so well off. You know, so even with regard to, for example, Hajj, it is done collectively. So even our ibadat has been given a collective dimension to enhance this brotherhood, to enhance this Muslim brotherhood. And such is the sanctity, such is the importance of this brotherhood, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in a hadith, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, while looking at the Kaaba and the Baytullah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma a'zamak wa a'zama hurmatak wa lil mu'minina a'zama hurmata inda Allahi minka. O Kaaba, very great is your sanctity. Very great is your sacredness. But I take an oath by the being in whose hands my life lies in. The sanctity of the believer is even greater than your sanctity. And in one riwayat of the hadith, goes on to say that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained himself by saying that you have been sanctified once, and the mu'min and the believer has been sanctified three times. And in this particular way it is said that he has been sanctified by his life has been sanctified, his honor has been sanctified, and the aspect that he must not be looked down upon and he must not be degraded has been sanctified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, this aspect of the rights that we owe to our Muslim brotherhood is a very great right. And it is very extensive. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has written 23 rights that you and I we owe to our next Muslim brother. And one of them has been encapsulated in the very famous hadith, five of them, Haqqul Muslimi ala al-Muslimi khams. And the reason why I'm making mention of this five, because somehow or the other, because of our circumstances, we find that we no more pay attention sometimes to some of these rights that we owe to our next Muslim brother. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that Haqqul Muslimi ala al-Muslimi khams. You have to five rights to your next Muslim brother. One of them is Raddu Salam, to reply to his salam. Iyadatul Marid, to go and visit a Muslim when he is sick. Wa ittiba'ul Janaiz, to take part in his funeral. And then wa ijabatul da'wa, to accept his da'wa. That's somehow the other we do. You know? That's somehow the other we do. And wa tashmitul atis. And then when a person sneezes and say Alhamdulillah, you are supposed to say Yarhamukallah. Five rights that you owe to your next Muslim brother. And the demands of this brotherhood are very great. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la yashar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Subhanallah. O you who believe, don't mock at your next Muslim brother. Don't mock at your Muslim brother. And then look at the reason. Asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Perhaps the person whom you are mocking at, he is better than you where it matters most. Where does it matter most? Mufti Taqi Usmani gives us one beautiful example. He says that one day the friends of the bride, they were grooming up the bride and they were making her ready for her wedding. And they were telling her that you look so beautiful. You know, we are adorning you for the big day. You are going to your husband. Look at how beautiful you're looking. And she said nothing. She said nothing. And then the friend said, we are telling you, we are adorning you, we are making you beautiful. We are saying how beautiful you look. You are saying absolutely nothing. And she said, what does it matter if you say I am beautiful? If my husband says I am beautiful when I meet with him, then it matters much. If you're telling me I am beautiful, what does it matter much? So what if the people tell you are good or bad? If Allah tells you if you are good or bad, then it matters. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't mock at another person. Perhaps the person whom you are mocking at is better than you where it matters most in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, part of this whole particular aspect of Muslim brotherhood is this, that we don't look down upon other people. We don't judge other people. We don't label other people. The aspect of we have the right, because Islam is a religion in which haq and batil, truth and falsehood, vice and virtue has been defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Allah has perfected, Allah has completed, Allah has completed then and perfected religion. Now right and wrong cannot be changed by any human being, by any imam, by any molana, by any sheikh. It has been determined by Allah. What is right will remain right till the day of Qiyamah. And what is wrong will always remain wrong till the day of Qiyamah. Right and wrong cannot be changed. We can determine an action to be right and wrong. Someone is doing something that is right. It is a correct action. He's reading five times daily salat, we say alhamdulillah. That is correct. He is doing a good deed. He is drinking alcohol. That action of him drinking alcohol is wrong. We can determine it because Allah has determined that particular action to be wrong. Having said that, after a person does wrong, we don't have the right to determine whether he is a success or a failure. We don't have the right to say whether he is going to Jannah or Jahannam. The reason why we don't have that right is Allah will judge, you and I cannot judge. Therefore, Allah, we can't even regard ourselves. Even if we are doing more good deeds than another person, or apparently doing more good deeds than a person, to be able to make that determination, who is better than another person in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنْفُسَكُمْ. Don't praise yourself. Don't ever attribute purity to yourself. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows who is pious. Your good deeds becomes valuable if it is accepted by Allah. Where do we have any guarantee that our salat has been accepted? Our good deeds has been accepted. Therefore, we conclude our salat by reading astaghfar, reading three times astaghfirullah, because we don't know whether, when you go somewhere, you get a receipt, you have given money. Do you ever get a receipt after you have a good deed that Allah has accepted it? Have you ever get? It's left to the mercy of Almighty Allah. So therefore, we have got no right to regard ourselves superior to another person. We don't have the right to look down upon a person because of his past deeds or because of his apparent weakness. Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, you have no right to regard yourself as superior to another human being on a one-to-one basis. You don't even have the right to regard yourself superior to a disbeliever. And then he goes on to explain this, that the disbeliever can get hidayat and Allah Ta'ala can take away your hidayat. And he can die on iman and you can die on kufr. Therefore it comes in a hadith that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sometimes a person does good deeds, there is one span between him and Jannah, Allah Ta'ala takes away hidayat. And then he does the work of a bad person and he goes to Jahannam. Sometimes a person does evil deeds, there is one span between him and Jahannam. And Allah Ta'ala gives him hidayat. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, after giving him hidayat, he goes to Jannah. You don't have the right to say that you are better than another person. And you can't judge a person because of his past deeds or judge his iman. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in a battlefield. Look at the circumstances, brothers. He was on a battlefield. While fighting, one person ran and he chased him. He pursued him. He cornered him. When he cornered him, he read, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Brothers, anyone can say apparently he did it to save his life. He was fighting against the Muslims. He was cornered. Then he read the Kalima. Usama bin Zayd took the same meaning. He killed him because he was part of the battle. When Nabi Karim ﷺ came to know about it, Nabi Karim ﷺ said, Oh Usama, why did you kill a person when he read the Kalima? Ya Rasulullah, he did it to save his life. Nabi Karim ﷺ said, Halla shakakta kalba? Did you open up his heart to see with what intention he read the Kalima? Usama bin Zayd said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rebuked me so much that I wish that the earth could have opened and swallowed me. And I hope I could not have accepted iman. You know, I hope I could have only accepted iman then and not before this. Who are we to be able to judge these particular aspects? Taunting a person with regard to his past. Umar radiallahu ta'ala was set out to assassinate the Nabi of Allah. What greater guna and sin can there be than that? And today he is lying back. And I next to Nabi Karim Sallam, and when we take his name, we say Al-Faruq. We just ooze with admiration with regard to Umar. Yet he set out to kill Nabi Karim Sallam. I read in a very beautiful book on the smiles and tears of Nabi Sallam. There is this one incident of Dihya al-Kalbi. He came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I wish to accept Islam. I wish to accept Islam. So Nabi Karim Sallam said, He said, Ya Rasulullah, will Allah forgive my sins? He said, yes, Allah will forgive your sins. He said, Ya Rasulullah, are you sure? He said, yes, why are you asking? He said, I've committed such a sin. He said, what have you done? He said, I have buried 7 of my daughters alive. I buried 7 of my daughters alive. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat stunned. He didn't know what to say. Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam came with the wahi and said, Allah says, if Allah, because of the kalima, will forgive his kufr, why won't Allah forgive his burying 7 daughters alive? Now when we say dihya, we say radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Yet a person who buried 7 of his daughters alive. Who are we to judge a person with regard to his weakness? Abu Mahjan al-Thaqafi was someone who fought against the Muslims. Thereafter he became a Muslim. Very famous warrior. Very amazing warrior in terms of in the time of the battlefield. But he had one weakness. And what was his weakness? His weakness was he used to take alcohol. On the eve of the Battle of Qadsiyah, he took alcohol. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu imprisoned him, chained him up. Right? So he couldn't take part in the battle. The first day, when the battle is taking place, he is singing poetry that I'm a warrior, my place is on the battlefield. Here I am chained, I am locked up because of what evil that I have done, what weakness that I have committed. And he was showing regret with regard to it. Salma, the wife of the general, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, heard that poetry. And she said, what are you saying? She said, I got a regret. I did wrong, but I want to be part in the battlefield. She said, what must I do? He said, free me. I promise you, if I go and I get martyred, I'm martyred. No one will take your name. But if I get back and my life is still alive, I will come back and I will imprison myself again and I will tie myself again. Salma frees him. Abu Mahjan goes into the battlefield. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala is looking at the battle. And as he's seeing the battle, he's seeing that such a brave person, he's changing the whole course of the battle. Wherever he goes, he brings, you know, turmoil in the ranks of the enemy. And Sa'd bin Waqqas said, who is this? I can't make him out. If it was not for the fact that I had imprisoned Abu Mahjan, I would say it is Abu Mahjan. But he couldn't make up his mind. And then Abu Mahjan comes back, imprisoned and ties himself. Salma tells Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas at the end of the day, he was showing regret. I untied him. He went onto the battlefield. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas came to him and said, what have you done? He said, I feel regret. I will never take alcohol again. And Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas frees him. The hero on the day of the Battle of Qadsiyah was a person who had the weakness and he had committed the act of taking alcohol on the eve of the battle. Who are we to judge people what they will do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge people, my dear respected brothers. Don't harm people. The aspect with regard to it is such a great importance. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes there are 3 types of animals. One animal is that benefits you, like the cow, the sheep, right? One animal is that which harms you, the spider, some poisonous spiders or the scorpion. One animal is that which neither harms you, neither benefits you, maybe in one forest of the world. He said, oh human being, oh believers, try to be like the animal that benefits others. أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ The best of people are those who benefit other people. If you can't benefit, at least don't harm another human being. Such great emphasis had been made mention with regard to this. In our Sharia, we have been told to leave nafil ibadat if it harms someone else. How many times when we go for Umrah and Hajj, our ulama tell us that to kiss the Hajri Aswad is good, but it is a nafil act. If by kissing the Hajri Aswad you are going to harm people, don't kiss the Hajri Aswad because you're going to harm people. Such a great emphasis upon not harming people. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention. You know, he's written a very beautiful book, Boundaries on the Difference of Opinion. So in that particular book, he's in the beginning of the book, after he's given an introduction, and the introduction speaks about a hadith on the importance of the rights of the believers. Then afterwards, he gives so many examples of how people, despite their difference of opinion, they respected one another. So in that book, there are a few quotations of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in some ahadith which he has narrated. One of it, Sibabul Mu'mini Fusukun wa Qitalu Wukuf. He said, to abuse a Muslim is an act of transgression, and to kill him is an act of kufr. And under the commentary of that, he writes, he said, vulgar language is the habit of an open sinner. Vulgar language is the is the habit of an open sinner. Nowadays in certain circles, vulgar language is regarded to be a sign of piety. Yet Nabi Karim Sallallahu said, and Nazir Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullahi writes, vulgar language is a sign of an open sinner. In that particular hadith, in that particular book, he narrates a hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Abu Dawood. Mal'oonun man dara mu'minan. Accursed is he. Cursed is that person who harms another Muslim brother. And then he narrates another hadith where Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, inna min arba riba al-istitalatu fi ardi al-Muslim bi ghayri haqq. It is the greatest form of riba, the greatest form of usury, that you attack the dignity of another Muslim. Brothers, this is the demands of our Muslim brotherhood, which we sometimes do not pay attention to. In one hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu says that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day told him, Ya Bunayya, in tusbiha wa tumsi, wa laysa fi kalbika ghishun li ahadin fath'al, thalika min sunnati, wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabba sunnati faqana ma'i fil jannah. Brothers, I want you just to consider this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one day told Anas radiallahu anhu, oh my son, if you can spend a morning, if you can spend an evening where your heart has no enmity, no hostility, no hatred, no jealousy, no ill feelings to another Muslim or to another human being, faf'al, do so. Dhalika min sunnati, this is my sunnat. The question I normally ask people when I narrate this hadith, how many of us regard this to be a sunnah? How many of us? And yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a specific request to Anas that make this is my sunnah. That you spend a morning that your heart is free from malice, hatred, ill feelings towards the next Muslim person or next Muslim or another human being. How many of us regard this to be a sunnah? And even if we do so, unfortunately, we will do so with people whom we feel are aligned to us. Those who are not aligned to us, we got no feelings. We got no good feelings towards them. Ya Allah. Is this what the sunnah is? Spend a morning where you have no ill feelings towards another person. This is my sunnah. He who loves this, he will be together with me in Jannah. Who has regarded this deed to be a sunnah? Who regards this deed to be a means of entering into Jannah? Brothers, this is our reality with regard to it. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let us end with a positive note. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Inna ahabbul a'mali ila Allahi ba'da al-fara'id, idkhalu surur fi qalbi al-Muslim, aw kama qal. The greatest deed, the most beloved deed after your fara'id is to give happiness to a believer. The greatest deed after fara'id is to give happiness to a believer. We don't give happiness, we only cause anguish. The greatest deed after faraiz is to be a means of comfort, a means of happiness. Brothers, look at the difficulty people are going. We have a golden opportunity in these type of situations. Instead of polarizing ourselves further, instead of scoring points over one another, instead of, you know, perpetuating the type of differences that we have, you know, to be able to make amal upon this hadith. Go and give comfort. Go and give happiness to people, especially in a time when in this last year people have gone through such great amount of difficulties. Brothers, this Muslim brotherhood, when it was strong, when this Muslim brotherhood was strong, it was a means and purveyor of good. It spread good. It brought about change in communities. It protected Muslims. We all know the situation and we all know the incident. One woman was abducted, and as she was being abducted, she said, Wa Mu'tasima, O Mu'tasima, you are the ruler of the Muslims. Where are you to help me? Where are you to help me? And then he sent an army to protect one Muslim woman. When this Muslim brotherhood was strong, it protected his own kind. When this Muslim brotherhood was good and was strong, it never mind protected his own kind. It protected Jews and Christians from fighting with one another, and protected Jews from Christians and Christians from Jews in Spain and in Jerusalem. It brought peace and stability to the world, and it was a purveyor of good. When this Muslim brotherhood today has become weak, then it cannot even protect its own kind, never mind protecting others. On this day of heritage, my dear respected brothers, let me make an appeal to make this Muslim brotherhood strong.
to be able to be a purveyor of good. There are so many opportunities of good in our country and this world. Today the world is crying for people to be positive. The world is crying for people to be able to do good. And the Muslim Brotherhood can do it. It did it when it was strong. Let us make this Muslim Brotherhood strong. And in conclusion, I will say, when we must be together and strong, it doesn't mean that we must be completely, you know, in agreement with each and every matter. There will be difference of opinion. But beyond that difference of opinion, we have more in common than what we have that are aspects of our difference of opinion. And what a beautiful way to end this bayan than to speak about the incident of Yunus bin Ibn Abdul A'la. Yunus bin Ibn Abdul A'la was a student of Imam Shafi. He was a student of Imam Shafi in a gathering, in a daras, in a lesson. He disagreed with his ustad and he walked out of the class in anger. Right? He walked out of the class in anger. At night while he was on his bed, in his own room, he heard a knock on his door. Who come in visiting me at this particular time of the night? He was surprised. He said, who is it? He said, Muhammad bin Idris. He was shocked because Muhammad bin Idris was the name of Imam Shafi. Didn't expect that this could be his ustad. When he got up, he saw his ustad at his door and said, Yunus, yes, we had a difference of opinion. Yes, we had a disagreement. It's a small disagreement compared to the 99% of things that we agree upon. Do not let this one disagreement come in between us and our Muslim brotherhood. Do not let this one disagreement come between us and our Muslim brotherhood. Brothers, this Muslim brotherhood is a very important and a very great sanctified right that you and I have to strive towards fulfilling. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.